What if the greatest power you have today isn't your position, your rights, or your title, but your willingness to serve? In Romans chapter 15 and Mark chapter 10, we see a Savior who refused to live for his own comfort so that we could live. Jesus took our reproach, our sin, our iniquity, and laid down his life instead of grasping for status. As you step into the public square, what would change if you stopped chasing power and started out serving, out loving, and out praying everyone around you? Let's find out together today. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, we are in our new series, Strength for Unity, and we are diving into Romans chapter 15. I hope you're enjoying it. If you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, or comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. We want to take the gospel message to all 39 counties, 49 legislative districts, 10 congressional districts, and I don't know where else, but we want to take it all across Washington State. And so we're excited and want to encourage you and thank you for your monthly support of both of those organizations. We are on Romans chapter 15, verse 3. And the title of this one's called The Selfless Savior. And Jesus refused to live for his own comfort so we could be saved and strengthened. So let's read it together. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now, when we read that, those scriptures sometimes we're like, what in the world does it say? Let me back up and I'll share that with you in just a few moments. But let's think about our question. How does Christ's refusal to please himself reshape what I think I deserve? Good question. So the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Okay, so your reproach, my reproach, of those who reproached Jesus fell on Jesus. Our sin fell on Jesus. Our reproach is simply just means sin or iniquity. And so he didn't live to please himself. He died for your sins, for my sins. He died that we may have newness of life. Now, this comes from Psalm 69, verse 9. Let's go back over there and read that. And I think it will help us. It says, for zeal for your house has consumed me. We know that Jesus had a zeal for God's house. This is prophecy. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. So this is where it comes from, Psalm 69. And I would encourage you, look through. It's kind of a little bit longer psalm. It's 36 verses. But look through that psalm, Psalm 69, and study it out about what this is about. But I love this, that God has a zeal. Jesus had a zeal for God's house. And so we see that that relationship is there, and that is where that quote comes from. So let's go over to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 32 and look at Jesus' suffering foretold. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. These 12 disciples are getting a precursor, an understanding of what was going to happen to Jesus. He says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him, scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later, he will rise again. So Jesus is foretelling his death and how he's going to be crucified. And that's where our sin was placed upon Jesus. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. Now, I think it's interesting. We don't know how close this conversation, James and John's, is to what Jesus just revealed to them. It sounds like it's the same exact conversation. But here Jesus is expressing his suffering for our sins and that his resurrection is going to happen in 3 days. And James and John's response is about themselves. Isn't that interesting? That they're like, hey, we want to sit on your right and your left. We want a place in your kingdom. And I think sometimes we can respond that way. We're like, hey, Jesus, thanks for dying for my sins. But we forget that he oftentimes is demonstrating to us humility, and we need to imitate that humility. So, but Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? So look at that. He says to us, I want you to think about what you just asked about, because I just told you I'm going to be spat on, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to resurrect in 3 days. Do you think you can bear that cup? Do you think you could drink that baptism? And they said to them, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism which I will be baptized. So he says, hey, guess what? You're going to be scourged. You are going to be spit on. You're going to be mocked. You're going to, you know, be all these things. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And this is where we can learn something for the public square. What Jesus's advice is to someone who wants a position of power. He says, the Gentiles lord their rule over others. You're going into the public square today, and are you lording your rule over others? Are you simply saying, hey, recognize me, let me have a position of power? Or are you having a different response? Let's look at this. He says, lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Are you running towards power and authority over others? But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be a servant. Isn't that great? We need to learn from Jesus about being a servant, that we don't live to please ourselves, but we're really here to serve someone else. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave to all. Be a servant to those around you. Be a slave to those around you. Find that place of just quiet rest in the things of God and say, how can I outserve, outlove, outpray those around me? I love this. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So today, as we go in the public square, we need to ask ourselves a couple questions. Where are you most tempted to say, I've done enough, I deserve this? Okay, think about that. Here Jesus is telling them, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be, you know, spat on, I'm going to resurrect from the dead, and they're worried about their position. And I think we can be exactly like this as disciples, especially when we get into the government stewardship parts of it. We look for power, we look for control, we look for authority, instead of really, truly looking for a heart that wants to serve those around us, to be a servant, a slave to others, and to give our life as a ransom for others. In what concrete way could you imitate Christ's self-denial for one person this week? How can you lay down your rights, your position, and simply outserve someone this week? Think about that. And how does remembering the cross soften your heart towards those who misunderstand or hurt you? And so thinking about how you might soften your heart towards those who've done you injustice today. I'm telling you, this story combined with Romans, where it says, for even Christ did not please himself. If we as a culture in Washington state simply stopped trying to live for ourselves, simply stopped trying to live for what we can get from the government, what we can get from each other's or someone else's pocketbook, it would change and transform everything. We are here to be servant leaders. And if you're an elected official, my hope is that you will step out today and be that servant leader. We used to call them civil servants. If you are a pastor, you are to be a shepherd. A shepherd is a servant to the flock. It's leading quietly the flock, and they will follow. And so that's my hope for us today, is that we'll learn from Christ's to please himself, to please others. Christ did not please himself, but laid down his life for others. And so that's what we want to do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And we do pray that as we go through it, God, that you would open our minds and our hearts to how to be civil servants, how to be shepherds, how to be people who love those around us, and to lay down our life for others, God. God, if we want to be first, we got to be a slave to all. We have to be willing to outserve, outlove, and outpray for each other, God. So would you change our hearts today, God? Would you make people who are managers not have a power trip, but really have a surrendered heart for you, God, to walk in things? God, it's not about control. It's not about those kind of things. It's out loving people and out caring for them. That doesn't mean that we don't have accountability or those kind of things, but it does mean that when we do the, when we need to hold people accountable, we do it with love, God. So God, teach us what it means to do life your way, God. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.